Alright, so about 52 weeks ago, two of these boys, they said Sapnin to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Probably themselves, because they thought that was the only motherfuckers that were going to be listening. But here we are, 52 weeks later, and there's a lot of motherfuckers listening. So me, Jason Alon Alexander Butler from Fever 333, want to say happy birthday. I love y'all. And you know what the fuck's happening, you know what I'm saying?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 52 of weekly podcast Sapnin!
Sapnin!
With Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards, aka Mo Rich. 52 weeks. Why does that ring a bell?
52
weeks.
Well, it's me, Morgan Richards.
Yeah, get that in.
And 52.
50.
I don't know, but I do have a feeling, Sean, that throughout this episode, the common theme will be strength in numbers.
Oh, you fucking prick. You prick. Do you know what? I thought we'd just do stuff about it being our year anniversary.
It's our year anniversary. This week's episode is our 1 year birthday celebration anniversary spectacular.
Yeah, we're not playing that game anymore because you ruined it by having to drive. How do I?
Yeah, but that was it.
This
yeah.
is right. I know it's a running joke between you and some other people who enjoy your puns, right? But people are going to think that I'm putting this on. I genuinely forget.
No, I feel like he's going to hit me at any moment while I'm ready to make these puns. That'd be great. It's great content, isn't it?
No. Happy birthday to us.
Yes.
Happy birthday. How the hell have we done 52 episodes? Morgan, I want
to... I'm trying to think of an answer.
We've turned up places. We've talked bollocks. We've left.
We've been allowed access to bands... that we shouldn't have.
Yep.
Really. And it's been a wonderful time. Yes. I can't believe how fast it has gone.
Yes, it's flown by. I remember recording the episode one like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And here we are now, 52 full episodes later.
Crazy to think.
Bloody hell. I've gone grey.
That's just from putting up with me. Nothing's anything to do with the podcast.
I know. But no. Yeah, well, yeah. This is a celebration. I can't believe we've been going a year. This is amazing. And we haven't mentioned it yet. Mm-hmm. But what an absolute treat it is to have for our year special.
Correct.
Jason Alon Butler from yes. Fever 333.
This is a man that we've had demands.
Yes.
Letters, threats for to get on the podcast
yes.
since our very first episode.
Yes.
We've wanted him and we managed to get a brilliantly love-filled conversation backstage recently on their UK tour.
Yes.
And we thought, what better place to put it out than for our celebration 1 year episode.
Yes. We went to Bristol to meet up with Jason on the first date of Fever 333's UK demonstrations, and the show was amazing. And as you find out, he tells us some brilliant stories, some stories that he hasn't told anybody else before.
Yeah, literally, we've got exclusive first tales from Jason about some incredible things. He's yeah. going to tell you the first time he ever met Travis Barker.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good one.
It will blow your mind. He's going to tell you about one of his favourite ever albums, which so happens to be from a Welsh band.
Well, thank you very much, Chase. You didn't have to... What do you mean?
Well, I don't think...
I can't remember. He's bound to say the Blackout,
well,
isn't he?
Well,
I can't remember what he... He doesn't say the Blackout.
We'll have to listen and find out, won't we?
I can't remember what he says. You better have said the Blackout or I'll kill him. Anyway, we had a lovely chat. This is our first chat with somebody that we've done in two parts, technically. Because we did a first part before the gig.
Mm.
And then he had a phone call from the bank he had to take.
Yeah, very important.
And then he realised he had to go on stage in 10 minutes. And then...
And told us to hang around. And then after the show, we went back and got a follow-up with him. So you're going to hear all of this in this episode.
Yes.
But it's literally before the gig... It might sound a little bit different because I think it's after the gig. So yes, you'll get the full Fever 333 experience,
yes,
right here on episode 52 of Sapling Podcast. And as I mentioned, we get into a lot of things he hasn't talked about before. We revisit the Let Live days as well.
Yep.
Talk about Sean and Jason meeting for the first time. And an incredible story I've been told privately that I can't wait to be shared with everyone. And just everything you can expect in 2020 for Fever.
Nice. Yeah, great guy, lovely chap, fantastic band, great live show, one of the best live bands in the world. Congratulations to Jason, because he's just going from strength to strength.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful, beautiful, and charming human being.
Yes, he is.
So
yes,
thank you again for Jason taking time out and making sure he answered all those death threats we were having about getting him on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, because
he was getting worrying at one point.
I thought we were goners. Anyway, where do we go now?
Well, it's our 1 year anniversary.
Yes, it is.
The best way to celebrate with us is not only listening to this episode, but going and visiting our Patreon page.
Nice.
patreon.com/sapnin.
Yes. Check it out now. We've recently received some presents for our 1 year anniversary from some of our Patreons. When you join patreon.com/sapnin at the lowest tier, you get access to the Sapnin community group. And the absolute legends who are already in that group have got together and written a lovely book with photographs as well of us meeting and them meeting, and photos from all around the world of their meeting as well.
Mm.
And they've got together and put together this beautiful collection of memories for our year anniversary. So thank you very much to those guys. But yeah, check out patreon.com/sapnin if you want to become part of the community, or you've enjoyed any of the last 52 bloody weeks. If you've enjoyed any of the last year, we can say year now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so please, your support, it doesn't go unnoticed. It is massively appreciated. If you don't even want to become part of the Patreon, just retweets and liking our stuff helps us. If you could suggest us to other people, that would be absolutely amazing.
Yep.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, and our social media pages are at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. But just in case you don't know how to spell that, Sean, tell the listeners.
You just tell me to do something.
Can you please tell the listeners?
At SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Morgan.
Patreon.com/sapnin. Get involved in the community. There's loads of different tiers where you can get rewards and exclusives back for your support. And on our Patreon page, we're actually going to be posting a lovely video of us opening these books from our beloved patrons for the 1 year anniversary. So you get to see our reaction as well. So if you want to go and watch that, become a part of it. And
yes,
we've been having a little bit of conversations about doing...
We've been having a little bit of conversations.
Yes, that is the correct sentence that came out of my mouth.
Carry on. A little bit of conversations.
A little more action.
Yeah.
About doing a bonus episode to celebrate, to look back on this past 12 months and answer questions that anyone might have about the podcast or the music industry, guests we've had, or anything like that. So we think about doing...
What sort of questions can they ask, Morgan?
Well, kind of, do they really want to know behind the scenes of touring life, what a booking agent is, how do bands decide where they play,
Yeah. How, well, any questions you have about band life that you've ever wondered, fire them at us, because we will spill the beans.
Sean's constant change of hair colours over the years. My eyebrows.
What could you ask about them? How did they get so lovely?
Yeah. Whose eyebrows are winning the fight? Mine or Charlie Simpson's?
Charlie Simpson's come from above.
Yeah.
He's taller than you.
Yes,
so
that's
death
true.
From above.
And
anyway,
he's got
yeah.
good riffs. Patreon, to get involved with that. We're thinking about putting that out next week after next week's episode as well. So
yeah, so that'll be available at patreon.com/sappening.
Yes.
Great.
Awesome.
Cool. Or now? Do we get on with the episode?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, why not, innit? Happy birthday, us. Jesus Christ. Happy birthday to us.
Get ready, because there's a fever coming.
He had to, didn't he? Have you got another one? You've got to look like you've got another one. You haven't.
No, I haven't.
You look like you're laughing because you were like, I might get stabbed. It was that nervous laugh. You know, like, if someone, like, I don't know, I remember bullies in school where they come, you'd be like, it sounded like you would, yeah.
I was just going to say, let's just dive into the wonderful Jason Butler and have a lovely conversation about all things Fever, Let Live, meeting Travis Barker, and everything else in between.
Yes, let's do it. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin!
Oh, Sapnin!
Yeah! You got it!
Yes. Sapnin! Yeah, I like
just
that.
Spring it on people and
I
see
like
what the reaction
that.
Is.
That's tight. I thought y'all were checking the mic still. So I was like,
what is this? Yeah. Bloody hell, we don't check the mics, we rock and roll.
That's good.
Yeah, our guest this week is the ever brilliant and inspirational Jason Butler of the Fever 333.
Yes. Wow, what an intro, huh? It's like all downhill from here.
Yeah.
Everything here in my mouth will not be
as much. Coming on. That was the old thing. No. Yeah, how are you?
Man, I'm good. Yeah, everything's honestly at the moment, like I was saying, if we're being honest, so everyone knows the context. I was just talking about how some wild shit in America with American credit and my credit in America is some wild, weird, old thing popped up, and I'm trying to buy a house for my wife and kids, and that's wild. But honestly, everything else is pretty sick. It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's fucking.
Yeah, it's just
it's mind
crazy.
It's fucking so
just
awesome.
To see everything.
It's awesome. Like
thanks.
We've obviously been following it, you know, since fucking Let Live, obviously. Yeah. And wow,
yeah,
what a fucking journey.
Yeah, it has been that, hasn't it? It's certainly been a journey, just due to like, I guess the nature of a journey, which is usually like up and down and to the left and right and trying to figure it out and navigating. And that's that's what it's been, man. I've just been trying to navigate all of this so that it all makes the most sense, not only to me, but to everybody involved and everybody that wants to invest in it. So it's cool, man. Yeah.
How did, when the fever came about, was it, how did you come about coming up with the idea for like that first show in the van?
Yeah.
And then,
because it just seems to be a wild adventure really since the idea for this band started.
Yeah, that was actually something I wanted to do a long time ago, and we just never did it in Let Live, to be honest, if I'm being like completely transparent. Okay. It was just something I wanted to do in Let Live, and also just like at the time, it wasn't really, I don't know, maybe it just wasn't aligning with who we were as a band as much. And I think that this sort of introduction of the project and what we are, the foundation upon which we stand, and what we, you know, why we're here as a project, made kind of sense to do out of the back of a box truck in a parking lot in Inglewood. So
yeah. It looked awesome.
It was fun.
So jealous. Yeah. Too far away.
Yeah. No, but with that, I did want to ask, because it seems like since Fever 333 started, that you've really been promoting this kind of message, and it seems like there's a real meaning behind this band and really what you want to do with it. Was that something you wanted to do for a while, or when Let Live finished, was it kind of like, oh, I want to do something like this now? Or it was just...
It was partially why Let Live finished.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's partially why, you know. I don't think that you can ask everyone to believe as fervently in something that is confronting and as challenging as these ideals, or I mean this, I don't even want to call it like an agenda, but just the beliefs that I have, right? Like, for me personally, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of, radical thought and belief and participation on my end with things. And for me to put that upon other people and expect them to want to do it at all times throughout all pieces of the art, it would be presumptuous, and it wouldn't be right. And so, at the end of Let Live, there were just some divergences in what we wanted artistically, as well as ideologically. And so that was a major reason as to why I felt it was time for me to step away from that project. There's a lot of different questions people have about it, but I think that would probably be the best way to answer it. And by no means... Oh, yeah. And also, I just didn't want the idea of Let Live to become something I never wanted in the first place. I never wanted to go on stage and be disingenuous. I never wanted to lie. I never wanted to pretend I felt a certain way, or that we all believed in the same thing if we didn't. And so I couldn't step back on stage because one of those things would have happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. How does... how did like Travis get involved?
Because he was very early on, it seems that he was kind of involved in even help. Is it producing some of the material as well?
Yeah, most of it. Yeah, I mean, basically, him and John did all of the stuff that we did on that Strength of Numbers album. They did do all that. So, Travis, I was in a grocery store in Calabasas, California. So in like Los Angeles County, where all the rich people stay. And I was, dude, straight up, Let Live was really inactive. We weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
I was broke. I was having a kid. I had just like kind of gotten my health in order. And I was working two jobs. And one of them was selling vegan gluten-free cookies to rich white people. And selling accounts to stores that distribute to rich white people for the most part. And I was in the store getting people to try these cookies. Travis Barker came. Oh, no, excuse me. His daughter, Ati, she knew Let Live, and she was talking about Let Live. I didn't know who she was. I just knew she was very nice and had nice things to say about Let Live. We spoke for a little bit, and she left. And then maybe not even 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, Travis Barker walks in, and I was like, oh, well, I know who that is. And I tried to pretend like I didn't, you know, tried to play it cool. But he walked straight up to me, and I was like, whoa,
this dude loves cookies.
Yeah, I was like, he's got to, right? I was like, he's got to. There's no reason he's coming to talk to me. Like, he must want this vegan gluten-free cookie, which makes sense. And then he came, and I was like, hey, do you want a cookie? And he actually declined, and I was like, oh my God, what is going on? I just ruined every chance I could have with bridging a relationship with this man. It was the cookies. And
I'll get him.
And now they're done. And he was like, no, actually, my daughter showed me some videos of you. You're in a band. I was like, yes, I am. And he was like, yeah, I mean, they look sick. I was like, thanks, dude. That's really cool of you to say that. That's really nice. And he goes, what are you doing? And I was like, this? I'm like selling cookies. I'm writing music always. But I mean, my job right now is selling cookies and doing marketing for this other company. And he's like, we should do music. I was like, we? You mean we should do music? And he was like, don't you know John Feldman? I was like, I do know John Feldman. I know John Feldman for a very long time. He's a very good friend of mine. He's done a lot for me too. And he goes, oh, well, maybe we can all get together and write. And I was like, we?
Fuck.
Like, we going, shut up.
Yeah, John. Yeah. I thought it was like a hologram or something. Yeah. Like, so this isn't real.
To rub the tag.
I was like, this isn't real.
Just waiting for Ashton Kutcher to come out with a punk camera.
So I was trying to play it cool because I didn't want to look stupid in the camera. You know? And that was that really. And then he bounced. Oh, no. Not before. Not before he bought me an E3 live shot, which is this algae shot that people take in LA and shit. It's supposed to be good for your brain. He's like, you ever had one? I was like, no, I have not, Travis Barker.
Full cycle.
Yeah. I was like, I've never had that. Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'll get you one. I was like, okay. So he gets me one, and I'm about to drink. He's like, oh, wait. You got to get like a chaser because it's pretty nice. I was like, okay. So by the end of it, he brought me a smoothie. And this place, like I said, it's in a very affluent area. So the things like, the prices are extortionate. So for all of that, it was about $19. So he spent like $20 on me, right? And I'm like, okay, he's fucking with me. He got me a shot and a smoothie. Doesn't know me. I was like, this is a really good sign. And then he bounced. And I thought to myself, you know, because Travis does so much. He's just constantly working. I was like, this could or couldn't happen. So I'm not going to like, you know, delude myself into believing that like I'm any more special than anyone else he's working with. And then sure enough, a week later, we got together, and from that moment, haven't stopped. I mean, it's constant. I was with him literally up until like 2 a.m. the night before I left the other night, leaving this tour. Like, it's been amazing. And then, myself, him, and John have just been nonstop.
Incredible.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. It's really crazy. What's really crazy is when I was in Let Live early on, I saw him at this place in L.A., in West L.A., at this restaurant. And I called my friend and I was like, look, I can't go up to this man with anything other than an album. So I need you to go home. I need you to drive to my house. I need you to get this album and bring it to me. And he was like, what? I was like, I need to give Travis Barker this Let Live album. Mm. It was way back in the day. I was like, I think he'd dig it. And as he's leaving, I didn't want to stop him. I didn't want to be a weirdo. I literally just wanted to give an album and be like, look, if you're into it, awesome. Give it a listen in the car. And he left right as my friend was pulling up. And to me, seriously, you know, when you're younger, you believe like that was it, that was my moment, that was my only chance. And then now here we are today, you know.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy to think like if you did meet him then, maybe like this wouldn't all this wouldn't have happened. Like, life would have changed.
Trying to say Let Live were bad. That's
no. That's like, no.
If you would have
been
that
shit,
get him.
I'm definitely not saying that.
He's invited him in the dressing room. I know you've got.
If you would have given him that crap, he never would have thought twice.
No. Why? I didn't mean that whatsoever.
Wow.
No.
No, but as you said, it's crazy, and it's just.
I meant how these things work out. I mean,
you're totally right.
We know, man.
No, you're totally right. And I've never told Travis that story. I just thought about that. I don't know if I've ever really told that story to anybody. That might be the first time. Yeah, it's funny how things work out, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
full cycle.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're about this. We're in Bristol at the moment. This is the first night of the tour.
Yeah,
are you looking forward to this UK run?
Yes, I am. Yeah, a lot of these shows have sold out early on, and tonight is also one of those nights. So, I just feel really lucky. I feel super fortunate, and remembering to stay that way, you know, because this could be done at any moment. All of it, art is amazing, and it can be timeless, and just on the same ticket, it could be done at any point. So
I found that out the hard way,
right?
When the band ended, I was just like, well, before the band ended, I was just, it wasn't I was ungrateful, but I guess I wasn't taking it that it could have ended any moment.
Right,
so I was just like, oh, we're fucking doing Reading again next year.
Right,
yeah, it's all right. There'll be another tour. And then the boys like, oh, we don't want to do the band. And I was like,
And
then we
did
like an EP just before the boys decided we were going to split up before the EP. So then we'd recorded the EP and I was like, they say that now, but wait right, till people hear this EP.
Yeah, yeah.
People are going to fucking love us.
Yeah, and yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. And yeah, it kind of never happened. So yeah, it kind of took it for granted. And then, yeah, and then it happened and I was fucking gutted and desperate to do it again. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, yeah, I'm loving doing it again now. And again, it's that's fucking amazing. Awesome to see you doing it and thanks, bigger dude. And better than ever.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like the UK have really embraced Fever from literally the word go. And
yeah.
You know, these kind of shows and everything you put on, that they're just loving every second of it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Again, another. Again, it's just like, I don't know. All you can do is do your best, right? Yeah. Like, that's all you can do. You can try your hardest. You can try to be as honest and authentic and transparent as you can. But you never know how anything's going to be received. You really don't. Yeah. The climate, the environment, the context of everything is really, it has a lot to do with how things are received. And again, I just think we're very fortunate. And so every night that we perform any sort of demonstration, any sort of release of music, anything that we put out publicly or even internally, we have to honor this, and we have to understand that this is not normal, and it's a gift, it's a blessing. And so that's kind of what we do. We put it into our performance, we put it into the time that we spend with people, we put it into the music that we make, and just understand that it would be a disservice to the people that let us be here to begin with if we didn't try our absolute hardest.
Completely agree. Yeah.
And we've got to talk about the record, you know, Strengthening Numbers. It seems that listening to it, not only has it had like so many different inspirations of kind of rock, hip hop and everything in between, there's so many different topics you touch on and messages. I know you've always been really emotional and trying to portray all the feelings and thoughts you've had throughout your career. But on paper, do you think that this record is the album you've always wanted to do?
Nah, I think it's just, I think it's just the album that I want to do right now.
Okay.
Just the same way as those other ones then. Yeah, I've always been very honest about that. And in Let Live, I certainly talked a lot about this stuff, but I was just a little more cryptic or metaphoric, you know, at the time. But I think this is where I was. But myself, my own, in my life, I've always been quite direct about how I feel regarding a lot of these issues that are touched on the album. And for this album, I did want to distill the message. So that's what I did. I just wanted to make it a little more blatant as to what I was talking about and why, and give evidence as to what I've experienced and why I've shaped the views that I have today, and also what I'm doing about that, you know. And this band is part of what I'm doing, but there's also a lot of other things that I do at home, a lot of involvement and activism that we get involved with. So yeah, I think it's just trying to be honest again, you know, on wax, as they say.
You're known for the explosive live shows. I think the crowd on these tours, well, I know a load of people coming tonight.
Awesome.
I think these shows are going to be incendiary. Yes. I think they're going to be fucking insane.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I really do, man. Yeah, last time we were here was fucking wild.
Yeah, because you've played a couple of the festivals and stuff already, and it seems like there's being a wild turnout for all events. I'm sure getting those people into
concentrated environment.
These rooms are going to be fucking insane.
Yeah, dude. No, it's going to be crazy. I'm just like, again, but also it's just sort of like a testament to the power of people, you know. We can believe all we want as artists and bands that we create these things and these vibes or these environments, but they're nothing without people. Yeah. They would not be anything without people. So for me, it's like they come first, really, and that, and then I am just kind of like an advocate to like how they feel and how people want to act and express themselves, you know, and so we just try to match that shit on stage.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Yeah. And we've mentioned how much of a creative person you are, obviously, talking about working with Travis and John Feldman, but recently you did a collaboration with Poppy as well. I'm sure that was just great to kind of work together.
It was wild, man. Yeah, it just kind of came about. We just had mutual friends, and I think Poppy herself was actually a fan of the music, and I came into the studio. They had just left. Our mutual friend was the producer engineer, and he was like, "Do you want to sing on this song?" I was like, "Yeah, shit is sick." And then that was that. And Steve wrote riffs with them. He had came in like with them and wrote. So I don't know, it's just like a wild thing. And I like it. I think it's like, in and of itself, just it, the very like existence of that track is again something confronting and challenging to the idea of what it means to be in heavy music. And that to me is important, you know. And also just having a woman lead the charge the way that she is in such an eccentric and sort of like almost like relatively avant-garde way for heavy music, I think, is really cool. Yeah.
Have you got to perform it live with her?
No, unfortunately. We just played the same festival, but there was no real prep or talk about it at all. And I showed up like right before she played, actually. I flew in, watched her play, we played, and I flew back to see my kid. So
nice.
Yeah.
It'd be good though. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be super fun.
But with that, have you kind of looked into maybe working with other artists and stuff like that as well? Because I feel Fever has that kind of perfect crossover where even mainstream artists in whatever genre could really fit together.
Yeah, I would love that. I love, we actually have one coming out. Excuse that, I'm just got off a plane. we have a collaboration, our first feature coming out soon-ish, actually. It's really cool. I'll tell you guys what it is after this interview. But yeah,
when does this come out though?
Couple of weeks.
Come on. Yeah, I don't think this will be out by then.
Okay.
Yeah, we know you fuckers done.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I 100% am into it because I think the collaboration for me is one of, because I used to be so like, I wrote so much of everything that I was involved with that I never even considered what it might sound like with you, like another something else or someone's ears or their vibe or their talent, you know, outside of like the band I was in, you know. And I'd always feature on stuff too, but now bringing people into what, you know, what I've created and collaborating has been just the most incredible experience for me. It's been so much fun, and it's really opened up my eyes and my palette and spectrum artistically.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Really cool. Now, one thing I do want to mention is a story Sean has told me from the time that the two of you toured together way back in the day on a grand tour.
I love this.
So
when I dyed my hair.
Yeah, so we were on the cover of, when we did that Kerrang tour, Sum 41 pulled out. As podcast listeners will know, every time Sum 41 pull out, for some reason the Blackout would get offered the shows. Because Sum 41 and the Blackout must have sounded exactly the same to some deaf promoter.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they thinking? Derek Wibley got blonde hair. We need somebody else with blonde hair. So yeah, we replaced Sum 41 on that tour, and then we did the Kerrang shoot. We all did it separately. We did ours in a boxing gym. You did yours in LA, I believe. And Newfound Glory did theirs in a different place. And when it came out, I had blonde hair and you had blonde hair as well. So I was like, I've had blonde hair for about 10 years, so I'll change it. So the first date of our tour in Southampton, I dyed my hair blue and then did the old tour with my blue hair and you had blonde hair.
Yeah.
And then our final show in London, Camden Roundhouse, we were doing Fat Lip. Oh yeah, because we were filling for Sum 41, we were playing Fat Lip, not to disappoint the crowd who'd already bought tickets. And I had blue hair, and I remember the video's online, the video's on YouTube. You can have a look at it, search for the Blackout Fat Lip Roundhouse. And there's a point where I'm bouncing about on stage and I come over to an amp and I look behind the amp and I turn away and you can see me go like Scooby-Doo look behind her like the bastard. And Big Philly out, our merch guy and tour manager, he was like trying to keep me away from you, and then you came out and sang with us and you dyed your hair blue.
I
was super impressed because you dyed your hair blue between coming off stage and us going on stage.
Yeah, I did it real fast. Did it really fast. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was genius. It was fucking, it literally blew my mind. But yeah, that was a.
Just want to try and get back at him or something? Or
yeah, I just really loved him, to be completely honest. Genuinely, like, there's people that you meet along, you know, this road that is music and art, but and in life in general. But our lives at the time, particularly, we were very involved in music and we toured a lot. And you meet a lot of people, and that's fantastic. But then there's people that particularly speak to you and sort of, you know, I guess they use the word like soulmates and these things, but Sean to me was just someone who was like just a genuinely, not only a good person, but just someone that I felt comfortable around to be who I think I am, as you know, in my best way. And so yeah, I just wanted to do it because I loved him.
It was funny.
It was hilarious. It was funny.
Did you tell my band? Did they know?
No, I think I just did it. Yeah, I just did it.
Because I don't know to this day if they knew. Because I was somebody must have known.
Yeah, no, I just did it. I was just like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to do this. And I had my friends help me do it in the backstage and then came out.
Half hour ago, he had a bin on his head running around, running into the speaker. Yeah, and now he's got blue hair and he's singing Fat Lip with Us. This is fucking brilliant. But I remember that was fucking, that was literally, I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, but when we got offered that tour, we weren't going to tour because we were off tour cycle, so we weren't going to do it. But then we got offered it,
right.
And I think I told you, I just started listening to Fake History at the time, and I was like, boys, I want to do this just so I can fucking see this band every night.
Thank you, man.
And it was unbelievable, and yeah, we got to hang out. I got to see you fucking rip it up every night.
That was a fun tour. Remember we got kicked off the second night or something?
Yeah, you threw a mic with Southampton.
Yeah.
You did two things.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
You climbed the balcony.
Yeah.
And
then
you pulled the gig. And then I think towards the end of the set, you threw your mic over your head.
Yeah.
And it went up and over and through you from Glory Snare drum.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they were so cool about it too. Yeah. But it was just kind of any excuse at the time to kind of just rattle the cage. I also think that it was really interesting. I mean, I had a huge head-to-head with the promoter for that, like the lead promoter, who actually was in Funeral for a Friend at some point, right?
Johnny.
And him and I just like went back and forth, and I was like, look, dude, here's the thing. Like, you sold this tour with us on it, knowing that you would get X amount of tickets from us because of what we do live. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a math there.
Yeah.
So if you're going to remove one of the largest pieces of the equation, well, then you're just fucking out of your mind. Like, we're not going to change we're not going to curtail or tailor the way we perform for any other reason other than, well, there's no reason. We would never do that, right? And because of that, I think that he just felt some type of way about it, and then they kicked us off, and I was like, cool, sounds good. And so I started booking other shows for us because we were in the UK and people wanted to see us. So we're like, look, you can come. I was going to make them free and all these other things because people had paid to see us. And then that they heard of this and they were like, all right, well, I think this and the other. And I was like,
you can come.
It was just this fucking
doing
really
free gigs of shit.
It was a really funny thing, and I'm not here to like call them out or anything, but I am here to make sure that people understand that you have that kind of power. Mm. Other bands, supporters of bands, you have that kind of power, and you can always do that. You can always find an alternative if someone tells you what you think is right is not going to work.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people know this, but I believe that one of your most favorite records is Smart Casual by Kids in Glass Houses.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Now, it's a great album.
I love that album. I did not expect you to like that.
What about that record really just...
It's fucking great. I mean, the everything. The songs are amazing. The vibe, the kind of like cheeky punk pop thing that it is. You know what I mean? Like, not pop punk. It's like a punk approach. Like, the album opens up. It's just fucking incredible, dude. Yeah. Like, and also, I think Al just had a cool voice. He just had a really cool voice and a real cool style and swagger. And yeah, I love that album. It just came to me at a time where I didn't think I would... It wouldn't be something that I'd ever... seek out, and it came to me, and I was like, I'm so in love with every single song.
How did you find it? How did it come to you?
I came across the drummer's MySpace.
Oh, wow.
Wow, Philip.
Because he lived in Scotland or had some sort of Scottish connection.
I think
maybe he's from there when he was a kid. Something led me there through my Scottish friends and family.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what, but yeah, he had some sort of connection with Scotland, or maybe he didn't. Maybe I just thought he did, but I ended up on his page, and then I listened to his band, and then I was like, "This is." And it was Easy Tiger,
yeah.
The first song I heard, and I was like, "This is so fucking sick." So
yeah,
that's
awesome.
Yeah,
no, it's just great to hear because I don't think a lot of people would expect to put the two together.
Yeah,
so,
no, like, I don't think they would either. I think the singer like tweeted about Fever not that long ago, and I was like gassed. I was like,
that's fucking crazy. Literally, he said to me once, I played, might have been Easy Tiger, at a gig where I was DJing,
yeah,
and he wrote to my friendster. Kids don't even know what friendster
is. Wow.
Friendster. You made me feel like a rock star by playing my song in a club. But that was the first time I've ever heard it in a thing.
Wow.
That's crazy. Cool. Cool. Such a small world.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Crazy. No, it's just great to see like bands that people care about so much inspiring each other.
Totally. Yeah, they were so good.
And I think, all three of us were big Glassjaw fans as
well. That was
that's sort of the bond we've got there as well.
Didn't they do a cover a Rai song?
The crazy thing is like everybody in the South Wales scene, like Cardiff is known as like a Glassjaw stronghold,
right?
Like Glassjaw are massive in New York, Long Island maybe LA and like Merthyr Tydfil and Cardiff in South Wales.
I love it, dude.
It's fucking insane.
I love it, man.
That's what t-shirt would be incredible. Just those four dates on there, that'd be
amazing. They would do it too, I think.
They would, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you get a guarantee for Beck, he would 100% be there.
For sure.
That's mad.
It is
such a small world. We took Kids in Glasses on their first ever tour.
I love that, dude. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, and I knew that you guys had the connection too, and it all started to come together to me when we toured together. I was like, of course these bands like come from the same sort of thing.
Vibe.
It makes sense, like just the swagger and the confidence and you're just such an entertainer. It was just so unreal because we come from a world of people that kind of grow into their entertainer selves, but you are a natural born entertainer, and it was just watching you every night was just incredible. It was just so
me too.
You know,
every night I think when we were on tour together, like you'd go on and I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake. like you do stuff that I was like, oh, I was thinking about fucking doing that. I wanted to wear the bin. Bastard got there before me.
I wanted
to climb that balcony.
I
gotta think of a joke and how to make up for the balcony
you
climb.
You were so good. But your mic, the way your banter was so good. It was so good. And you would like egg on the fucking audiences and shit, and like create little rivalry between the band and the audience, but it was so like endearing, dude. It was like the shit that I don't do that I'm like, fuck, that's so sick. Like I love that shit.
Snap. And the other way around, the other way around, you were well, after that tour, everything that we did after that probably had a sniff of Let Live. Well, my new band. All the reviews we're getting at the moment, I can't hear any of the things they people say. The new band sounds like Glassjaw or Let Live.
That's fire. What?
Oh no, I'm over the moon.
So tight.
I don't hear it. Right? I love it.
Right.
It's fucking two of my favorite bands ever.
Right.
No, I can't. I've been to a lot of your gigs and stuff, and I've heard some of the music. And
no, sounds good.
I'm saying it's not. I wouldn't say it's the direct sound. Maybe pull bits.
Yeah,
that,
it doesn't help. The shapes I pull are directly from every Glassjaw.
That's probably
live
it.
Video
that's
I've
probably
ever
it.
Seen
yeah.
Life,
so
rightfully so. Yeah. Rightfully so. That man. I mean, God.
Yeah, I spent some time with him at Slam Dunk, and
is he cool?
Oh yes.
Like, I've never hung out. I've never hung out with him before in my life. Yeah.
Super. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I'd been like since Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Silence came out, like I was like proper fanboy. Like, it was Limp Bizkit were the first rock band I ever got into, and then the second one was Glassjaw.
That's amazing.
And
what a follow up, huh?
Well, yeah, we should really explain that.
Yeah, if this sounds slightly different now, it's because we had to stop because Jason actually had to run on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jason is back after the gig. It was amazing from our side.
How was it for you?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was a really, really good way to intro back into touring in this region. And actually, we've never played Bristol. It's our first time. So that was incredible.
Banksy's hometown.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Banksy and Trip Hop. And yeah, man. It's fucking, it was great. It was great. We feel really, really good. And you were there. That's really important.
Thanks very much. Thank you. No, I loved it fucking all.
Yeah,
it was fucking
I had a great time
awesome.
As well. It was a good laugh. Good fun time.
Yeah. I got something to show you.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine from my hometown, Merthyr Tydfil, he's a graphic designer, and so he had he's made a poster for you, and he's made 50 of them.
Oh,
and here they are. If you could sign one for him,
He sent me this on Instagram. This is
so
crazy.
He's the other 49 he wants you to have and sell.
Yo, that's fire.
And then your merch guy said that you were doing a thing for charity every night.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
So if it's up to you, if you like them, they're there.
I love them. This is from Chris George. Chris George, yeah, Old Crow.
Yeah, that's cool.
So sick. Dude, that's so tight. So sick. Yo, what kind of shoes are those? I know it's like fully like some sidebar.
I got them from a store over here called Zara about a year ago. They're only 30 quid, so I bought four pairs of them.
Yeah, they're smart. Fucking cool.
Stocked up on it. When one goes, you've got another three ready.
And it's definitely cheaper than buying one pair of Adidas NMDs.
Right, yes. Like fire. They're cool shit.
Thank you very much.
Unless anyone from Adidas is listening and would like to give all three of us shoes.
Yeah.
Just contact us.
Podcast@gmail.com.
Yes, do it.
But
I hope we'd get them now because that'd be awesome.
That'd
be fire.
We've mentioned that really it's exploded for Fever over the last couple of years since you've restarted and put this music out there. But what's the plan now going forward for the rest of 2019 and 2020? I'm sure there's a lot of things in the pipeline that are just going to really eclipse everything that's come out so far.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, right? You always want to make sure that everything you do.
No, I was thinking about making a worse record.
Yeah, I was doing some retro active, not cool shit. I think that what we'll do, what we are doing currently, I've been writing with a bunch of people. Like I said the other night, I was with Travis before I left.
Yeah.
Been doing that and really just trying to expand the idea of what Fever is both sonically and ideologically, creating a larger space for the charity element. I've been working a lot with an old youth government, a mock legislature in court that basically raised me in high school. I'm working closely with them right now back at home to, I think I may assign the entire next year or a lot of next year to for the Walking My Shoes Foundation, which is the charity that we run, to that program. So it's like a youth program where you essentially go and you learn about our government, Democratic government in America, and the court system. But inside of that, you learn about yourself, you learn about other people, you learn about different cultures, you experience, they take you away on these trips and you have these like crazy conferences that are just incredible. Anyway, it did a lot for me. It has a lot to do with why I believe in change. A lot to do with why I'm so involved with politics and activism and community and government on a local level. And so I'm going to make a huge, huge effort there with that. And then we're going to be putting out an album next year. At least we want to. And I think it's a good time to put out an album, especially not just in America, but because of America, because we're so involved in global and world politics, right? For better or for worse. We have an election coming up, and I think that we would like to sort of align the fervor, the frustration, the curiosity, the anxiety that we're all feeling about what's about to happen next year, and remind people that you have a choice, you have power in just your very existence, and some ways to do that are voting, some ways to do that are taking to the streets, some ways to do that are just literally shaping your mind in a different way, using your mouth, using your words. So we're gonna do that and really, really, really start to expand what this thing, this Fever thing is, and kind of how we initially started it.
Oh, brilliant.
And would you be working with John again then, or would you?
We'll be working with John and Travis. We're currently working with, I've been working with a gang of people. A gang of people, which has been really fun. So we'll probably end up I'll probably end up writing a bunch of songs, a bunch of songs. And then me, John, and Trav will get together and we'll kind of sift through them and see what we can do with them and go from there. And we might change some. We might not change anything. We might drop some. We might not, but we kind of go through as a panel and obviously in the boys. So it'd be me, John, Trav, Eric and Steve will just kind of look through everything and see what has happened, but all the initial creation will be kind of all over the board for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And so far, have you had any little ideas and stuff, or is it just gonna be?
Oh yeah, no, I've already written a bunch of songs. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that I really like.
Awesome.
Yeah, some of them are crazy. Some of them are really out there, but Well, not out there, but you know what I'm saying? Like, relatively, I suppose. You know, yeah. There's like one song that I wrote with like kind of like a dance hall nice. Ending chorus and stuff, which I think is kind of fun.
Sean DePaul on that. Sean DePaul. We'll be bad.
No, I'm looking forward to hearing it when it's all ready to go.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited. I'm really excited. What about y'all? How's this been going? I know this isn't like...
This is, as we said earlier, this is the year special. This is the anniversary special.
So it's our birthday.
Great.
It's our birthday right now.
Why did you start this? Why did you do this?
Basically, when the band split up and stuff, I was just fucking completely lost. Didn't know what to do. And then I posted online. I was like, well, I've got loads of stories... Like, I'm a boy from a small town who probably shouldn't have been allowed near a lot of the people I've been near. Like, I've met, like I just hang out with some people who you'd be like, well, surely he's never met them. But I have.
Right.
So I posted about either doing a YouTube series or maybe a podcast. And my friend who does a podcast said, go for a podcast because monetizing YouTube's fucking solid or whatever.
Right.
And he was like, if you've got a podcast, you could put it on Spotify where a lot of people will find it because of your band or whatever, if it's linked and stuff. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get out there and I kind of wanted to... A lot of people were asking why the blackout finished, so I kind of wanted to get my side of that out.
Right.
The first two episodes are kind of like why we split up is the first one. The second one's all the good times and all the ridiculous shit that we got to do. And then from then on, we had guests and I genuinely thought we'd probably get... 5 or 6 podcasts and then run out of guests.
Right.
This will be the 52nd week in a row.
It's so incredible, man.
And to be fair, we've been able to talk to some incredible artists and just people in general. Completely different stories each and every week.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people listen as well who don't just want the same old magazine.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song to play?
I feel like our guests get to open up and really show their personality and their kind of side of just everything and topics and
people
from mental health to what it's actually like backstage, because people still think like it's all cocaine strippers and wild times when it's just there's a Wi-Fi code
right
over the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I need a towel.
That's so crazy. I just asked somebody to get Eric a towel right now. It's so funny.
Thank you for asking about us.
No, of course, man. I just think it's really important too. I think it's important for people to know like what they're listening to and why, you know. And I think that having an investment in this, and also like it's not, I want people to know that it's not easy to do what you guys are doing. That's the thing is,
yeah,
it's not easy to captivate an audience. But let's even go like before that, like you're speaking to artists who are in a lot of ways could be unhinged or mercurial or introverted, or you know, and you're getting them to feel comfortable enough to discuss things that are important to them or that may be hard for them to discuss. I think that's really important, and I think people should pay a little bit more attention to the people that are doing that as well. I've been doing some interviews recently that are really, really good in that way. But like I said earlier on the mic and in this podcast, I was saying that you have something about you that's very endearing. It makes people feel comfortable. And I just think that people should know that, you know, and I think that's what y'all are doing.
We do put a lot of blood, sweat and tears into this and stress very much on my end. I get very
worried. Do you guys travel all over?
So we had a really busy, well, this year's been mad, isn't it? We've gone to like all festivals we've stuff. Gone to cities everywhere.
We go anywhere to talk to anyone or whatever.
That's so far.
It's just about everyone's stories. But one of the most rewarding things is our the kind of community we've made through our Patreon
Patreon thing to and the people in that are unbelievable. Couples have turned up
have relationships and like best friends have been made and people literally travel across the world.
We met one girl
hang with each other, and
we met one girl at a festival and she came on to us and she was like, I'm here with the Patreon group, because they had like a meetup at the festival, and she was like, I literally would have come here on my own.
I've got 10
friends who I know all love the same things as me.
She almost made me cry.
That's been the best part. Like, all of doing this is awesome, and getting to see you is amazing.
And
getting to see all my friends again is amazing. But seeing that and seeing this community, and they're all supporting each other, and they're all supporting.
Like, we've got people in the group who are in local bands and stuff, and they're posting their stuff, and they're all like
they're supportive of the guests as well. Like, a lot of the community have never heard of a lot of the guests we have on,
right?
but which then is strange
check,
yourself.
Yeah, which is strange. And then they go out and check them out, and they're like, oh, we love this band. And then they just...
attached to him.
Almost blindly support them.
Right, 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 right.
It's unbelievable.
But there's that link, right? There is a shared interest, right? Yeah. Common interest, which is you guys. You know, and that's something I think that's really beautiful. I think that's a really... that's community. And that's what I'm talking about, right? That's what I'm out there trying my hardest to... talk about on stage and everything that
but
we
I
do.
But I felt that tonight. You like, I got that year.
Yeah,
like, I felt that
same.
Everybody here was just fucking cool.
Everyone is in the same boat. Yeah, everyone's in the same place. Out. There's no ego. Everyone's just trying to have a good time
and
enjoy each other.
Even if it's for a couple hours, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's really important. And you guys are creating... It's funny, right? You can do it so many different ways, right? So, like you felt, Sean, I would feel the same way. I'm like, fuck. Like, if I wasn't doing the music thing, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what am I going to do to continue that thing that I felt was so important and so... part of my identity, and then you did it. You're like, here you are. Like, this is fucking cool. And I think that's really fascinating to see. And also, it really speaks to like the tribalism that we yearn for as a species. We want to be part of a community. We want to be part of groups. And sometimes, you know, not in a way that's like a societal construct, but more so just the sharing of energy and the exchange of energy and like-mindedness. Mm. You can find it. You don't just have to be looking at a band or an artist to find that community. That's another thing I guess I kind of want to put on this, is that you can find it in so many different ways. And just because I may look or seem like it's the best way to find it because you're in a... it is not the only way and may not be the best way. I might change this and I might change and something might be completely different in a few years or tomorrow. So I think that the most important thing to remember is that it is out there. That community is out there. It's just how do you look for it and where do you find it? Mm. And that's just so cool that you guys can do that. It's
cheers.
So sick.
Thank you very much. No, it's been amazing to do, really.
Yeah, it has. It's been great, I think, for the both of us, just trying to get like insights from everything. And
But a lot of it's testament to guests as well. Like yourself,
we've been lucky enough to
being accommodating, like. Yeah, it's just awesome. We've spoken to a bunch of bands that we never thought we'd get on.
Combines our two worlds as well, because obviously, you know, Sean from the music industry, me as a journalist, and it just combines it.
Who is the one guest that you gotten that you never thought you'd get?
Oh, who have we had so far?
Or like someone that just seemed
I'm a big fan of comedy, like stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, true.
Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
Really?
Jim Brewer came on.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. How did you get him?
Download Festival. Like, he does the comedy stage there. So we tried to get him and we couldn't get any answers back. And then some girl came over and was like, oh, we've got a comedian called Jim Brewer. I was like, fucking get Jim Brewer.
Oh my God.
So Jim Brewer came on. He was good.
Yeah, we were like little kids in a sweet shop with him. He was a good laugh.
A couple of WWE wrestlers. That was...
yeah.
Yes. Made me
great.
Yeah. I'm a huge Taking Back Sunday fan. Yeah. We got Adam and John on, and that was great.
Oh, that's cool. They're a good
great
little duo.
Yeah.
They're cool together.
Literally insane. But everyone's had just a different kind of vibe to it, isn't it? There's not like... two that have been similar. I don't think.
We had Thrice on.
Last week
we tried to get Dennis from Refused, right? Because I found a video online of him being interviewed, and he's talking about how inspirational New Noise was.
Yeah,
right? And Dennis said, "Yeah, but you get good and bad, obviously." So he was watching a TV show called Friday Night Lights, the American football show.
Yeah,
and he thought he heard New Noise.
Oh,
and you know where this is going already.
Yeah.
And
oh my God!
He was watching New Noise. He was watching Friday Night Lights, and he was like, "I think that's New Noise." Oh no, it's not. It's just a dreadful band doing something that sounds very, very similar to it.
Right.
Guess whose band that was, Jess?
Oh no.
Yeah.
No way.
It was the Blackout.
No, he did not. Say that about the Blackout.
Yeah.
He did not.
He did. So we were trying, because they're over here with Thrice at the moment.
Yeah.
We were trying. I just wanted to go, it's happening. Right, first off.
Yeah.
Before we go anywhere, check this out.
That's crazy.
You don't even know.
That's crazy.
I was just going to say, sorry, but also thank you for the 10-year career.
Yeah.
The inspiration of New Noise, I'm sure.
Totally. Wow.
I put so many emails in for that, but hopefully next time we can
that'd be good.
Break it to him.
Yeah. That would be so funny.
It would be a dream guest. best.
Yeah, artist. Yeah. Who would you want? Like, who just, you know what I mean?
Durst-y. Fred would be
Fred
right.
Durst, yeah.
Yeah.
I want Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He would be so much fun,
well,
dude.
But like,
he would be so good. Doesn't Fred Durst like not do interviews anymore?
Mm.
Or did he ever really?
I don't think he did on the, because yeah, we toured with him and I don't think he did.
My manager was their manager.
Nice.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could just catch him off the cuff.
If you
know
can
what
set
mean?
This
like,
up Jace.
Somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I yeah, I just happen to be filming this conversation. Yeah. Fred Durst, fuck it. How was touring with them?
Awesome. Well, this is the thing. I think they knew, because we were massive fans. Like, literally, the Blackout covered my generation. Like, the first song we ever played live when we were, like, 16, 17 was Counterfeit by Limp Bizkit, right?
No way.
Yeah. So we ended up, I've said this on a podcast before, but we ended up going on tour with them in 2012, maybe.
Yeah.
And we were 12 dates in, and I wrote a letter. What a prick. I wrote a letter. Dear Limp Bizkit, the Blackout year, you might remember us from the last 12 shows. We have never seen, I remember it verbatim, we have never seen you play the Rock Mosh Anthem Counterfeit. Is there any chance you could play it or do it in soundcheck? Also, we understand that we hate getting asked for old songs, so
no worries if you
can't. Again, thank you for the tour. Love the Blackout. Give it to Fred's giant security guard.
Yeah.
And then just went about our business, and then we were in our dressing room, and there was a knock on the door, and it was Gabe, Fred's assistant, and he said, "Oh, Limp Bizkit would like to see you downstairs, please." And we were like, "Oh fuck! Oh, we've pissed him off. Oh, here we go. We've heard about it. It's his anger. Here we go." So we walked down. All of it. He was like, "Oh, the old band needs to come down, please." And we're like, "Oh, this is it then." So we're getting kicked off.
Right.
On the stage. We side the stage, and Fred goes, "If we're going to do the song, you're going to have to sing it with us."
No way.
And he went, there's an old man. He had an auto cue, right, in a monitor case, so it looked like a monitor.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, there's the old man TV if you need it." And like the biggest virgin you could ever be, I stood over it and then went, "I was born to do this."
Oh my God.
And then spent, I'll show you the video. I got the video on my phone.
That's
and then
so
I spent
good.
The whole of the sound check doing a Fred Durst impression to Fred. "Hey man, wake up and smell the concrete." He loved it.
He loved it.
We did the sound check, right? And he went, "Right, don't get too drunk after your show, because we're doing that tonight to the show." And it's there.
No way!
Yeah, that's incredible.
So that is so...
That's like, literally... That's like doing Arnie to Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Come on, what's wrong with you?
Dude, what's crazy about that story, well, first and foremost, in and of itself, is insane. Yeah. And so, like, do you know that movie Rockstar?
Yeah.
It's like that movie Rockstar. Yeah. But...
I definitely... thinged it. I definitely made it come to fruition by thinking about it.
For sure. Dude, when Let Live toured with Deftones, they weren't playing Lotion, song Lotion, so one of my favorite songs. And I wrote a letter in Manchester to them and dropped it off at their fucking dressing room, and the same thing happened. But I think Chino had been drinking a little bit, and he asked me to come out. Not during that song. Come out during Seven Words, which is also so sick. But literally, but he did it as he's walking. They were doing it as like an encore.
Yeah.
And you wait as they walk backstage and you let them in and they come back. And then he's walking back on stage. I'm against the wall, you know, just trying to whatever, just see the show. And he goes, "You know Seven Words?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, come sing it." I was like, "Fuck." And so I came out and sang that.
Nice.
But that's so funny. I wrote like what I believe to be a juvenile, charming letter as well.
Oh yeah, man, that's mad.
Who knew the power of letters was so...
I know,
like,
man, I'm telling you, it's a lost art, bro.
Yeah,
it's
literally.
A lost art.
Text
it. Yeah, I'm gonna say, you're gonna text it, yeah.
Will you come on
stage? Yeah.
Fancy doing a song, like, it's not the same, but yeah, that's all unbelievable.
Yeah, I love stories like this.
What a small world.
Yeah. That's crazy. I love that shit. I love that.
Yeah, was anything else?
Unless there's any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with, and the podcast and our lovely listeners.
Yeah, man. Because I'm very inspired and taken with that story about the kids and the Patreon and stuff and meeting up with each other because of the podcast. I think that there needs to be more people starting podcasts and bands and groups and communities. We actually just got this letter from this... lovely young woman who's a Muslim woman, and her culture typically doesn't really make room for her and people like her to enjoy this music the way she does, participate in the music the way that, that she does. And she wrote us this letter, and I just, me and Stephen were reading it backstage, and we were nearly in tears at her bravery and her strength. It's just like this, man. Can either one of you really imagine what it's like to be told by every single person in your family, in your immediate community, in your culture, that you can't listen to a band?
Wow. It's crazy. Yeah,
and then if you do listen to that band, that you will be admonished physically, or that you will never ever leave again. Can you just imagine for one, like, it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I think about it as like a person of color, and you know, from America, and I think all these, but then I think about women of color in certain scenarios that are relegated just because of their very existence. And I just don't know if we actually take enough time to think about what is happening in other people's shoes, in other communities.
Yeah.
And maybe if we did, maybe we would appreciate them more, like the people that found each other through your Patreon, right? They thought that they were the only people probably that liked the things you were talking about, or that were participating in what you were doing. Then they found each other. And I really think that it's important for us all to understand that we are not the only ones that feel like the only one, no matter what it is we're doing, you know what I mean? And I really hope that, I don't know, I hope that anyone listening to this knows that y'all are doing something very special that goes beyond you, because you did, the Patreon kids in the meeting, that's a testament to it. And yeah, man, I don't know. I was that kid too. I really was. I was this kid with like a mixed identity and didn't know how to be white or black enough and didn't know how to be rock or hip hop enough or whatever. And now I'm talking to y'all because you actually give a fuck about what I have to say. And just know that there are other people that want to hear you. Maybe if they're not even around you immediately, maybe they're not in your household, maybe they're not even in your like neighborhood, but there are other people out there. And I guess that's kind of like one of the benefits of the internet, is we can find these people. Yeah. So we are out there and we are waiting for you with open arms, and we encourage you to speak on whatever it is you want to speak on. Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Best end message so far. Normally it's like, check out our tour dates, but you fucking win. Beautiful, beautiful human.
Yes.
I knew I was coming. I knew it wasn't going to be like a, yeah, check out our merch.
Got some shit.
Loads of t-shirts. Not all.
Yeah, got some designs.
That's awesome. No,
that's so
much.
Touching. Thank you. And thanks for celebrating our birthday with us.
Hell yeah. Happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday.
That's an accomplishment for real. That's sick.
Thank you.
I'm just surprised he hasn't killed me yet. That's what I'm like, you know. There's been moments in there.
I nearly drove my car with both of us into reservation a couple of times.
I'm glad you didn't though.
Yeah.
Because we had this nice moment. No, we've had this nice moment.
I'm glad you didn't as well.
Thank you ever so much for doing this.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, one of the greatest parts of my life was meeting you,
dude,
and getting to spend time with you. So thank you very much. You're fucking awesome.
I love this. Thank you so much,
dude. Guys. Hell yeah! Right.
Fuck you.
Oh,
cheers. Thank you.
Love it.
Bye. Awesome.
Yeah.
Jason Butler, Fever 333, episode 52 of Sapmin Podcast. What a charming individual he is.
Absolutely lovely, lovely person. One of my favorite people I've ever met in the music industry. Just a beautiful soul, beautiful human. I love seeing him. I literally, when he turned up in the room, I just felt my heart swell. And it was great to see him. So thank you very much to Jason for taking the time to speak to us twice, technically.
Yeah, technically, yeah. No, but it was great just to see you two getting reacquainted and stuff with parts of the conversation and stuff. Well, you haven't seen each other for a while, and I don't know, it just felt like there was a lot of a love you needed to catch up on.
Yeah, there was. Let Love. That's mine and his new band coming soon.
Oh.
Check it out. Featuring Travis Barker on drums. If I say this out loud, people might harass them to the point where it happens. Imagine me in front of a band together. It'd be mayhem.
Chaos everywhere.
It's too much chaos. Anyway, thank you anyway to Jason. That was a brilliant, brilliant chat. He's yes. an awesome human.
Go and check out Fever 333's debut studio album, Strengthening Numbers, yes. available worldwide on every single platform now.
Yes.
And of course, they've just released a brand new single as well called Kingdom.
Nice.
So go and give that a listen yes. straight after the end of this episode.
Yeah, wait till the end of this episode. So.
Please do.
Yes.
Because it does help us. But no, it's just being, I think, the perfect guest to have on to celebrate us turning 1 year old.
Yes.
It's been a mad ride. We've been able to speak to guests of all sides of the industry, not only in music, but wrestling, comedy.
TV,
you know, and I just feel like we've done good. We've done good for the first year.
And yeah, looking back at those Patreon photo book memory books was very, very, very emotional. Thank you again for everybody who sent messages. They were absolutely lovely and heartwarming and got me right in the feels.
Yeah, I got choked up a few times as well. But do you know what, Sean? I am proud of us.
Yes.
I think we've done a good job. And here's to the next 12 months being even better.
Fingers bloody crossed, eh?
Yay.
Yes. If you'd like to do anything for our birthday, why not share your favourite episode on your socials and tag us in it so we can share them as well? Because we want to know what was the reason that got you listening to us, or what's been your favourite episode so far? Have you listened to anybody you didn't know of who you now love? Is there anybody you listened to that you did like and now don't like? I don't think that would be a thing because we haven't really had any dicks on.
Yeah, at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and wish us a happy birthday. Put us in your Instagram stories.
Please.
Tweet us nice messages.
Please.
Bake us a cake.
You can bake me a cake.
A sapling cake. We haven't had the Sapling Podcast cake. Make it happen.
Fucking hell. Some demands coming from you. I just, yeah, just social media.
Yeah, I know. Poster. I just, sorry, I got.
Oh, get us a 4-bedroom detached mansion with gun turrets outside.
I'm not greedy. A 2-bedroom right. mansion will do.
That'll be all right.
Fine.
I don't think there's such thing as a 2-bedroom mansion.
Anyway.
Yes, let's move on. Where are we moving to?
While we're talking about the year and everything, I just want to say a special thank you to not only all the Patreons who have supported us and made this podcast happen each and every week, but anyone who's listened, anyone who's shared this stuff, anyone who's just being a part of our journey.
The PR teams.
Especially people like PR teams, festivals.
Venues.
All sorts. TMs.
Yeah, everyone.
Drivers. Band members, promoters.
Band members,
yeah.
Everybody, literally everybody has been lovely. We've not come into contact with anybody who's shown us like any resistance or been a dick. Everybody's welcomed us with open arms and it's been an absolutely beautiful experience so far. And I genuinely hope we get to do this and this grows and gets bigger and bigger. So please, please share it where possible. We've loved doing it and apparently some people love listening. So that's awesome. So
yes.
Thank you very much.
But while we're saying thank you, we need to say a massive shout out to some of those beloved Patreons and the elite members of our Sapling Podcast community. Now, you could go and look at the description of this episode, and there's loads of names
that
we love.
Yes.
But we're going to shout out the elite names now, and they are as follows.
Yes, thank you very much to Dana Lasnova, Kylie Wheeler, John Price, Emma Barber, Janelle Caston, Liam Connolly, Nathan Croshaw, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Young, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Drew Styles, Nessa Smith, Katie Puttock, Mitch Perry, Jenny Munster, Emily Senegals, Becky Maloko, Martina McManus, Lucy Deeds, John and Emma, Caden Denoudston, I'm getting better every week of saying his name, James Oakley, Sarah James, Kieran the Meme Maniac, he's back, Marcy Jacobson, Shani Meyer Boxel Anderson, Jordan Burchard, Sharif hasn't changed his name, Pimp Daddy Awadali, Craig Harris, Mike Cunningham, Michael Engler.
What?
Ooh, that's not that. I think that's just his genuine name.
But
Nobody's got a rude name.
Yeah, no.
Michael Engler, Kelly Cannon, Lydia Henderson, Amandine Urbano, Livy Cropper, Scott Jones, Amy Thomas, Stuart McNaught, Jamie Bluer, Jenny Robson, Tony Michael, Erin Howard, and Patrick Stump is my sugar mama.
What's that got to do with the patrons?
I don't know. Let me just check the email, yeah. Pete@falloutboy.com. Oh. I think we've
that
got a new Patreon.
Weird turn.
No, that was Ricky McClurg. But anyway, God, I thought he was bloody Peter Wentzen. We'll get him. We'll get him.
One day.
Yeah. But thank you. A massive thank you to those people. And anyone who's part of the Patreon, I cannot stress it enough. It is literally, as we mentioned in the interview with Jason, it's one of the best things, if not the best thing about doing this podcast, is the community and the support everybody has for each other.
Yeah, we've brought people together, we've made friendships, not only with ourselves and other people, but strangers have become friends because they've
some
listened.
Some have become lovers, mind.
They have. And that's a weird thing to think about, really.
Ew.
But again, dating for goths is patreon.com/sapnin. Find your loved one in the community.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Good
but yes, Sean.
Yes.
Do you have any other thoughts or anything going on right now?
Well, there's plenty going on, but
because one thought I had in my head, right, is that to check out Raiders Band UK on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yeah. Nice.
Because you are going on tour in January for a list of 7 shows for Independent Venue Week, and you might die because you haven't done a week's worth of tour in quite a while.
Are you trying to say I'm unfit?
No.
Because you'd be right. Anyway, yes, as Morgan brilliantly remembered, because I didn't, Raiders are going on tour with an awesome band from up north called Cutting Teeth, who if you haven't checked them out, check them out, because they are fantastic. 27th of January, we are playing Newcastle. Come to Newcastle. We are! 28th of January, we play Manchester. 29th of January, we play Hull. 30th of January, we play Newport. 31st of January, we play Carmarthen. 1st of February, we play Bridgewater. 2nd of February, we play London. All of these dates can be found at Raiders Band UK on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook.
Tickets are available now, so head over there, click the link, and buy them. And then go to the show so Sean can scream literally in your face.
Yes. Please do. It would be lovely to see you there.
Yes.
It's going to be a right laugh.
Again, follow the podcast at Sapnin Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
Follow my Instagram and Twitter if you want to know what I'm getting up to personally. It's mainly this, to be honest. But if you do, at @MHRichards_.
Nice. And, are we doing personals? And my personal? Oh, I haven't got. On Twitter, @SeanSmithSucks, because I thought I'll just save people time. And then on Instagram, it's @FakeSeanSmith, because I thought Instagram would never take off.
And now you can't get verified.
And now I can't get verified on either. Because one's bullying Sean Smith, and the other one's saying,
you're not the real
the real me. Clever boy. Clever boy. Blue ticks are for losers anyway. That's what I heard. So if you listen to this and you are verified, suck a dick. Anyway,
right.
Happy birthday to us. Let's go and get drunk and take loads of drugs.
No, because we need a word of the week. So all these lovely listeners can let us know they've reached this far. If they've reached this far, if you have, I think that's self-harm.
Okay. If you've got this far, I need you to tweet us the word dimethyltryptamine. Don't look it up. Dimethyltryptamine.
I thought you were going to go with like party popper or balloons.
Do you know what?
Or
I didn't think I should have.
Or like, you know, something celebration related, no. But you've just gone.
All right, then. Not dimethyltryptamine, which I couldn't say the fourth time I tried to say it.
Caterpillar cake.
Calling the caterpillar cake. There you go. That's too much for an hashtag, I bet. Who cares? Whatever. If you listen to this, if you've got this far, thank you.
Congratulations.
Jesus
you
Christ.
Are the champion.
You're the only one. There won't be more than two people get this far. Anyway, we've taken up too much time.
are these people's
Thanks
lives.
Thanks for sticking with us for a whole year. Thank if you're you. New to this podcast, you've got a year's worth of material to go and check out. So go and do it, because there's another one each and every Friday. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
should we just shut up now?
Yes, let's move on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you constantly for the support.
Yes.
Love Agreed. You. Appreciate it. Please, if this, as he said, if this is your first time listen to the others. Please share it where you can. We love you. Sorry. Thank you. Genuinely, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for everything. It's been a year.
Sapnin! Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.